We appreciate you so much. All of our leaders, we appreciate so much. You can go ahead and be seated. It takes a lot of people just to do a service, let alone two services every single Sunday, and to do it for 52 weeks out of the year. And for now, 36 years, we've been pastoring Family Life. And so it takes a lot of people and a lot of faithfulness. And so thank you for all that you do. Thank you for our leaders. Amen. Part of our vision, of course, is to raise up new leaders this year. And we were all formed for God's family. We were created to serve. We all have amazing gifts and abilities with which to serve God and one another. Anything that we do to serve others in Jesus' name is ministry. And ministry is one of the purposes: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, evangelism. So we often kind of spiritualize that word ministry and make it like, ooh, ministry. Well, I just kind of go to church. Everybody, every believer is a minister. So if you believe in Jesus, you are a minister. You may not do any ministry yet, but you are a minister. And so we're just wanting to do all we can to help train you and plug you in somewhere, because full growth and fulfillment will not come until you're plugged in serving somehow with your gifts. Amen? There's more God has for you, I'm trying to say. So get plugged in. Go through our shift class. We identify your giftedness and your abilities through shift and plug you in to ministries where you fit. You follow me? And so it's just really, really awesome. Amen. Let's all stand together and let's dismiss the kids' church of Mr. Nelson right back there. Give them a good hand clap as they go this morning. And let's pray and spend a little time in the Word today. Lord, thank you today for your goodness. May the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all truth. We're talking about teamwork, and we're on Team Jesus. We're on your team. And so, Lord, thank you today for us having hearing ears to hear from heaven, eyes that are open to behold wonderful things from the Word of God. Help me to communicate your Word in such a manner that we can hear it and just go live it, just go do it. It is in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them I'm on God's team. And you can be seated. Amen. I'm on God's team. Which means then I'm on the winning team, right? If I'm on God's team, I'm on the winning team. No matter who wins today, I'm on the winning team. And so say it with me. I'm on the winning team. Say it again. I'm on the winning team. Now, great teams have a sense of purpose. 2019 is our year of purpose. We're kicking off this year reading the Purpose-Driven Life. Everyone's life is driven by something, and may it be the purposes of God, because if you're driven by somewhere else, you're going to end up somewhere you don't want to be. And so we want to be driven by the purposes of God in all that we do. We're going to see an example here, strangely enough, of a group of people working together who are doing this for selfish purposes to make a name for themselves, who really were motivated by fear. It's a story in Genesis 11 of the Tower of Babel. And it's believed by Bible scholars that they found this dry plain to build this tower out of bricks that they had burned in ovens and stuff to be a waterproof refuge in case God ever flooded the earth again. And so they were motivated by fear. They weren't being led by God. God didn't tell those guys to do anything like this. They're doing it for their selfish purposes to make a name for themselves. Let's see what happens here. But even though this is not being led by God nor based upon his purposes, we can draw some truths from teamwork that we can apply to God's purposes and really see what God's talking to us about. So Genesis 11, verse 1 from the New King James Version, and we'll have all these verses up on the screen. 11 verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. They dwelt there. They said to one another, then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone. They had asphalt for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is to the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. So this is all a selfish thing, nothing to do with God or for his purposes. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Who built it? The sons of men. Now the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So we want to have God's purposes in all that we do. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord, now here's what the Lord said. The Lord said, indeed, the people are one. So there's power in unity and one accord. The people are one and they all have one language. In other words, they're saying the same thing. They're working together. They're talking together. They're in unity. They're in one accord. They're united in their purpose is what God is saying right here. They all have one language. They're one. And this is what they begin to do. And now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. That's a gigantic statement for God to make. And it says in the Amplified Bible, this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they've imagined they can do will be impossible for them. So man, these guys have got vision. And God himself says it. So here they are employing spiritual laws for the wrong purposes, but they're still working. You follow me? In other words, you could fly an airplane and employ the laws of lift to fly passengers from one place to another or to fly drugs from one place to another. The law of lift just works, right? So they're applying spiritual laws and they're working. Now the motive is up to us of why we do what we do. May we be driven by the purposes of God. And so God says, hey, this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. And then in verse 7, let's go down and there confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech. So communication is crucial in working together. And so here, what follows is God confounds their languages and scatters them abroad upon the face of the earth and kind of puts an end to the thing right here. But we see here some important truths. They were working together. They were saying the same thing. They were driven by purpose. They could do anything they imagined to do. Here's four things I want you to know. Four things that we can learn from this story. Number one, there's power in working together. There's power in working together. It is said in sports, it's not the best talent, it's the best team that wins championships, especially in team sports like football. Sports like basketball, there's only five players on the team. One guy can come like to the Lakers, LeBron James, and make a huge impact. In baseball, there's nine players on the team. They can get one guy to come and doesn't make the same impact. In football, there's 11 players on the team. You follow me? And so especially in team sports like football, it takes the best team to win. There's power in working together. There's power in working together. Talking about teamwork, if you're a Laker fan, talk about a dream team we had some years ago. We had Kobe and Shaq on the same team. And they won three back-to-back-to-back championships. I think they could have won three more. But what happened? They quit working together. They began to kind of compete amongst themselves. They lost purpose. They lost vision. They began to have the wrong things drive them. Who knows? Now looking back that they're old and both retired, they both look back now with regret saying what we could have done. Hey, you know what? Regret doesn't turn a clock back. So let us not look back one day when we're getting ready to go be with the Lord and say, you know what? If only, if only, if only. Let's work together now. Let's be driven by purpose now. So there's power in working together. Number two, there's power in purpose. There's power in purpose. There's power working together. There's power in purpose. And then you hear this around here all the time. Teamwork makes the dream work. It sounds cliche. It sounds trite. But man, it is absolutely true. Teamwork makes the dream work. Which means teams have to work and have to have a dream, right? And that's purpose and that's vision. Teamwork makes the dream work. And the fourth thing, what God said here himself in Genesis 11 is, if you see it, you can have it. It begins with vision. It begins with a dream. It begins with an imagination. God gave us this power of imagination, which we can use again for good or for bad purposes. May we use our thoughts and imaginations for good purposes. And if you see it, you can do it. And so there's power in working together. There's power in purpose. Teamwork makes a dream work. If you see it, you can do it. Babe Ruth said this about baseball. He said, the way a team plays as a whole determines its success. You may have the greatest bunch of individual stars in the world, but if they don't play together, the club won't be worth 10 cents. Babe Ruth. Yeah, who's she? No, Babe Ruth. Okay. You might get that joke. Okay. Babe Ruth. John Wooden, the greatest coach who ever lived in all of all sports, said this: the player who puts the ball in the basket has 10 hands. He was a basketball coach. 5 players, 10 hands. The player has 10 hands who puts the ball in the basket. Amen. So listen, great teams have a sense of purpose, and there can be no teamwork without a sense of purpose. Great teams have a sense of purpose, and there can be no teamwork, no real teamwork without a sense of purpose. And so in sports where they use a ball, like team sports like football or soccer or baseball or basketball, they move the ball forward. In football, they put the ball across the goal line. Basketball, they put the ball in the hoop. In soccer, they put the ball in the net. In hockey, they put the puck in the net. Right? I mean, in baseball, they you know, I guess they run around the bases. Baseball's weird. They run around the bases in baseball. But still, there's a way they do something to score and to advance the team, right? I won't bring up baseball in second service. It doesn't work. All right? All right, let's look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The purpose-driven life. That's the book we're reading. The purpose-driven life. 2019 is our year of purpose. Look what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 23. New Living Translation. And then we're going to jump over for a couple of verses to the Message. And these will be on the screen. 1 Corinthians 9, 23, New Living Translation, and on down a few verses. Paul says, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Don't you realize in a race, everyone runs, but one person gets the prize, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. We do it for an eternal prize. What Paul emphasizes here is discipline, giving maximum effort, going into strict training, doing whatever it takes. Amen. Then he says in verse 26, which is a huge verse, so I run with purpose in every step. I run with purpose in every step. I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not running aimlessly. I've got purpose in every step. Then he says in 27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear, after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So we've all got to play by the rules, right? Or you can be a great athlete, you break the rules. I mean, we know how it is right now in sports. There's guys right now who are suspended for breaking the rules. And even though they're great athletes, so you got to stay in your lane. Play by the rules, amen? I run with purpose in every step. God has a plan and purpose for you. I love what Pastor Rick says in his book. He goes, maybe your parents didn't plan you, but God planned you. Maybe you think your life was unplanned. Nothing could be farther from the truth. God planned your life and saw you from eternity past. Wow, what a truth that is. Amen. So God's got a plan and purpose for all of our lives, for our lives together, and for our church. So part of this plan is to bring us together to work together as a team to achieve his purposes. We got to give it everything we've got. In fact, it reads like this in the Message, 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, in the Message paraphrase. Paul says this, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Wow. Wow. I mean, we can just start, you know, in the Bible, in the Psalms, it says Selah. You see all these Psalms. When you see that, that means stop and just reflect. That's what they would do when they would read the Psalms. When they came across a Selah, that was something that was so profound, they would just stop and just meditate and reflect on that. That's a Selah moment right there. So Paul isn't even emphasizing the finish line as much as he is the effort. He says, run hard. Run hard. I'm not taking a day off. I'm running hard for the finish. I'm giving it everything I've got. That challenges me. Because I'm one of those people, and maybe somebody here, this resonates what I'm going to say next with you. I'm one of those who always thinks I could do better. I know I could do a little bit better. And I think I can. I was somewhere one time and saw an illustration, and you math majors will love this, all right? 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 times 3. 5 threes. 3 to the 5th power. It's 243. You raise that 3 to just a 4. It's just a 25% increase. Just from a 3 to a 4. 4 times 4 times 4 times 4 times 4. 4 to the 5th power is 1,024. So a 25%, not this gigantic 100% improvement, just a little improvement, 25% brings a 400% return. Boy, how do you like that? Amen. And so I'm one of those who just always thinks I can do a little bit better. And I think I can. I think I can do a little better. I'll think, man, if I'd spent one more day on this message, or if I had just maybe read one more book, or maybe just, turn the TV off sooner. Are you listening to me now? Whatever, right? Now, here's the danger in that, self-condemnation. Where all of a sudden now it's like, I can never do good enough. I'm just putting myself down. That's the danger. So don't go in that. That's the ditch. You've run off the road. Stay on the road, though. And say, you know what? Am I giving it everything I've got? Could I do a little bit better? I want to challenge our teams. Can we just go from a 3 to a 4 in some areas? Maybe just our time management. Maybe our love. Maybe our preparation. Maybe our generosity. Maybe our faithfulness. Maybe just my personal disciplines. Maybe just letting my light shine. I'm not saying these gigantic, major. I mean, you know, people win, like in the Olympics and stuff, they win gold medals by tenths of a second. They don't win by these gigantic, you know what I'm saying? It's just a little bit better than the other guy. It's like the story of the two guys who went backpacking, right? And a bear comes down and begins to chase them. One guy stops and puts his tennis shoes on, and his friend says, "You think you can outrun that bear?" "No, I can outrun you." Like that, right? It's just being a little bit better. You follow me? It's a little bit better. And lo and behold, the greatest coach of all time lived and taught his championship teams by this very same thought. John Wooden said this. If you've not read this, read Wooden on Leadership. Oh, Walt has a signed copy that I'm coveting. All right? He has a signed copy. He met John Wooden and got a signed copy of that book. But whether it's signed or not, the content is there. And John Wooden said this. He said, "Winning is a byproduct. Focus on the product, which is effort." Oh. What? And then he says this. "We live in a society obsessed with winning and being number one. Don't follow the pack. Rather, focus on the process instead of the prize. Even during the height of UCLA's best seasons, 10 national championships, 7 in a row, 3 undefeated seasons he's talking about here. Even during the height of UCLA's best seasons, I never fixated on winning. I didn't even mention it. Rather, I did everything I could to make sure all of our players gave everything they had to give." Oh, what a teacher. "Both in practice and in games. The score will take care of itself when you take care of the effort." So can we just give maximum effort on our teams? Those of us who serve on teams, can we just make sure we're not mailing it in? Because after a while, we can kind of get a little routine. I mean, believe me, you know, I mean, I have my computer. Now that we can, in the old days, you had to handwrite messages. You had notebooks full of them, you know. Now I just click. I have over 500 messages just in my teaching file. I got about another 300 from when I taught Bible school. I got another 100 just in my leadership file. Guys, I could not even open a book for 10 years. But who wants stale bread? Not me. out of my refried beans. I mean, you can preach them again, but they got to be fresh. You follow me? I'm going to have some beans a day. Thank you. Beans and chili. Yeah. Super Bowl food, right? Can we give maximum effort? I know how it feels sometimes. We can kind of feel like we can mail it in or something like that. But can we just do what the Bible says here? No sloppy living for me. If you're married, can we be a better husband? Can we be a better father, a better wife, a better mom, a better friend, a better teammate, a better team player if you're on a team? Amen. Can we give maximum effort? Paul said, I'm giving it everything I've got. I'm running with purpose in every step. Amen. Today, someone's going to win a world championship. And then somebody won it last year, and someone's going to win it again next year. And then, you know, the next sport's going to come along, then the next sport, then the next sport, and all that stuff like that. But we do stuff, Paul said here, for eternal purposes. This is not a championship that has a 12-month shelf life. We do this for eternal purposes. How do we win? How do we put the ball in the hoop at Family Life? How do we push the ball across the goal line at Family Life? How do we put the ball? How do we kick the ball in the net at Family Life? Every time somebody responds to the invitation, every time somebody opens up their heart and receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, every time somebody recommits their life to Jesus, every time somebody says, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to hear the word, and I'm going to do that. When they make the transition from being a hearer to a doer of the word, I love that guy who on the Mexican channel. Go! I love that guy. You know that guy's name? I don't even know that guy's name. I love that guy. Wouldn't it be awesome? Somebody raise their hand. Go! Wouldn't that be awesome? Every time a child up there hears about Jesus, go! I mean, wouldn't it be awesome? We have nothing like that in American sports. Our Latin culture is the best. I'm sorry, you know. There's Latin, everybody who wants to be one, right? But isn't that the go? That guy's classic. Right, let's get ready to rumble. That's nothing compared to go! Right? Man, I love hearing that guy. They just don't score enough in soccer. I wish that guy could do it like every 5 minutes, you know? We win every time somebody receives the Holy Spirit. Somebody receives ministry, receives healing. Every time somebody worships God. Every time somebody makes up their mind to serve God. Every time somebody deploys their gifts for God's kingdom. That's goal for us. I have to do this twice today, okay? That's goal for us. You follow me? Every time our vision happens, we win. Will you help us? Will you give maximum effort? Will you help us? We need your prayers. We need your generosity. We need your encouragement. We need your involvement. We need your faithfulness. We need you. We need you. Will you help? So you're a purpose. Will you commit your life to God's purposes for your life? You got one shot at this. Life is not a dress rehearsal, man. This is real right now. Eternity's real. This is real the first time. Will you commit? I want to be a fruitful tree. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Enter. I want rewards in heaven. And all this is waiting for us. Amen. What are we going to do about it? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for how wonderful you are. Lord, thank you for all of your goodness. You gave your best when you gave your only begotten son. There is nothing greater that could be given. Nothing greater that could be done than giving your son, the Lord Jesus, to die for our sins. And all of this begins with a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For a moment here with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, friends, where's your heart before the Lord today? If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, or if you're not sure if you ever have, we're going to pray right now. And we receive him into our hearts by praying and by calling upon him. And I'll lead us in a simple prayer where you can do exactly that. If your heart's away from God and you want to get things right with him today, I'm going to invite you in a minute to pray with me as well. And if you'd say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to get things right with the Lord today. I want to receive him or get things right with him in a brand new way. I'm going to ask you in a second here to do one thing, and that's to lift your hand. Just just up high where I can see it, and then we're going to pray right now. And I'll lead us in prayer right where you're sitting. God hears and God answers. And he does all the amazing things that he does. You ready? Today, if you want to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him in your heart for the very first time, if you're not sure if you've ever done this or not, or you just want to get things right with God today, and just settle some issues and get things right with God today, right where you sit, could I just please see your hand right now if that's you? Hold it up high where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else? We're going to pray right now. Thank you. Anybody else? We're going to pray right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's all pray together. Let's all lift one hand to heaven together right now. And let's pray like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, for never giving up on me. You died for me. You rose again from the dead. Today, right now, I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you for your never-ending love for me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now, I want to add something to our prayer this morning. If you're ready to give maximum effort, like Paul said, I'm giving it all I've got. No sloppy living for me. Would you stand your feet right now? I'm going to pray for you right now. If you're ready to make that decision, I'm going to give it all I've got. I'm giving it all I've got. Lord, you see these standing before you right now. We're saying that we're hearers and we're doers of the word. Apostle Paul told us, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example. He said, I'm giving it all I've got. I'm running hard for the finishing line. Lord, we're saying, I'm giving it all I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm giving maximum effort. I'm committing to your purposes for my life. Work out your plan. Work out your purpose in me, in each one of us, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Let's give him a shout of praise today.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 o'clock a.m.